In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, indeed. Here I am again with more fun in the Fandom Nexus to have with you with yet another special guest. Well, it's a different kind of way to do a special guest. It's more audio from Planet Comic-Con. And this time I'm going to share this is yet another stand-up interview with Daniel Ross, voice actor extraordinaire. He's got a long list of characters he's been doing, but he won an Emmy? I think he got an Emmy for being Donald Duck in I forgot which one of the shows. He'll say it though, but he's been voicing Donald Duck and Grimace and Stripe and Gizmo and just Lucky the Leprechaun. I couldn't think of his name. Could you believe that? He's been doing so much that I think you're really going to enjoy hearing from him. I had a fun talking to him. He was a real fun guy. He recently did pop up on Jim Cummings' Tuned In podcast. And of course, because Jim Cummings always beats me to the punch. Really? I'm sure you all have heard my story. I think I even tell him while on the recording. So I have not edited together the recording with him yet. But I'm pretty sure I tell him the story of like how Jim Cummings is much more popular than I am. Shocker there. And basically, he got the audience that we hopefully wanted just a little bit of them one year at Planet Comic Con. But of course, if I hadn't been hosting a panel, I'd have been in his program, right? So I don't hold that against him at all and everything, because he is the great Jim Cummings. But anyways, but Daniel Ross, I got a chance to sit with him. He was a lot of fun. He is a hoot. He is just an awesome guy. And so we're going to talk with him later in the show. But of course, we do have some fun things to do before we get to that point in the show. And I believe I have my notes here. There we go. So what have I been watching? I'm still trying to get through. I finished the third season of Daredevil. And I'm now going to try to watch Daredevil Born Again. And I did watch one episode of that. And the thing is, I'm so behind on shows because I really don't watch a lot of TV that Andor season 2 has started. And I've been hearing some positive and good things about that. And people have really enjoyed it. And now I guess every episode of that is available to stream. I think there's even something else that is all available to stream that sounded interesting. But I cannot think of what that is for the life of me. But yeah, so that's what I've been watching. But mainly it's what I've been playing. I finished and platinumed Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. And I tell you what, it was a struggle and an effort making sure I found every little thing. I am creating videos and sharing them at the Neverland Official Gaming channel. So you can watch me go through and struggle and play through. I try to edit out if I get lost and I'm kind of wandering around and not really accomplishing anything. But you'll see me die. You'll see me right now. I even did a side video where I got myself caught up in a situation where I was in disguise, but I got identified. And I went to hide in a little room thinking, OK, no one will come up here. And thankfully, there was only like one doorway where the guys could come in and get me. So I was able to kind of deal with them pretty much one at a time, one to two at a time through a little doorway. And somehow or another managed to survive. And I think everybody that was at that little base or this armory came in there and I took everybody out. And so I was able to walk freely around that area for the rest of the time in the game. So but it's a really crazy, fun video. And I've posted that one as well. I think I called it Indiana Jones, the Circle of the Great Circle. the pile of bodies. And I've got a little screenshot there of the pile of people I left in this little room that I was trying to defend myself and keep alive. And it was crazy and crazy fun. And now that I've completed the game, Troy Baker did a fantastic job. Everything you've heard about how well he played Indiana Jones is true. He did a really great job. There's times that I could see the Troy Baker-ness in his acting style. There was bits that was more, you could see him in it more than you could like the Harrison Ford, but he did his best. He sounded like a young Harrison Ford. He acted like Indiana Jones. He played the character very well. But of course he played the character like Troy Baker would play the character, not necessarily like Harrison Ford, but he came pretty close. He did a good job of playing the character though, because he is a good actor. And I was really pleased with it. There's some interesting characters. And I really enjoyed the game. Now that's on PS5 and on Xbox, really, if you have the ability to go play it, you should go play it. It was really fun. Only other things we were playing, well, I did start up Final Fantasy V. I'm going back to that again. But Heather and I sat down so she could play the Stanley Parable. And you can hear all about that in the current episode that I just released today. And there is video, of course. Watching Movies with My Pastor, you can find me and my wife playing the Stanley Parable, and I've just released it, like I said, and I think it's fun. Hopefully you'll enjoy that, of her struggling to get through it and me trying to help her figure out where to go. And was it really her type of game? Because the Stanley Parable is a very different type of game. So did you think she enjoyed it? Well, find out if you go and download the episode with the audio. You can listen to the audio or even watch the video over on YouTube. Okay, so the only other thing I want to be able to get to, and you know, I don't usually do a trailer park on the show anymore because I wanted to start doing that as an extra, like a bonus content for those of you who are Patreon or Red Circle exclusive members. But there is something I definitely want to talk about because it popped out today, but I can't really share. This is where I've run into problems sharing audio from Warner Brothers, even trying to share a trailer so you can comment on it and talk about how it might have gotten you excited, it causes problems on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, well, fine. I won't put it in my regular episodes because these regular episodes, the audio does get uploaded to YouTube. And I just didn't want to deal with that. But the new trailer for Superman coming July 11th has come out today. I got a chance to watch it. I watched it twice. I really did enjoy it, and people have been pointing out that that Christopher Reeve's son plays a news anchor that you can see in one particular shot. You get a look at Mr. Terrific, Guy Gardner, Hot Girl. I think a few other characters goes pretty quick, and we get to see a little bit more of the emotional weight of the movie, as a lot of a chunk of it is, well, dressed as Clark, no glasses, but you hear the difference in voice of when he settles in to be Superman. As you heard me just do, where I was talking up here and I settled it down here, he does that as Lewis is going to interview Superman, and he grills him on something where a war he was stopping, and I guess the U.S. government has some questions on his actions, and he says, well, you know, he gets upset that he said my actions saved lives. So it shows a little bit of what's going to go on, and I think they're hinting at the fact that Lex Luthor may be the president in this. And it does recall, I have been watching a little bit of Justice League Unlimited in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. And I was trying to watch it to go to sleep, but I was getting into the story because I really haven't watched all of Justice League Unlimited. And there is a storyline going where Lex Luthor is slowly working his way to become president, and the horrible things that are going to happen from that the question is observing, and all and Superman, of course, with gaining frustration and some of the actions he takes that looks bad upon the Justice League. It's been a very interesting storyline, and I see some hints of that kind of coming up in this movie. So I'm excited to see that. I really like the look and the style. Of course, all the Snyderverse people are still very upset. Well, they can be upset, but come and check out the movie anyway. And just like the Snyder movies, they didn't live up to the Christopher Reeve movies. You know, not that I had anything against Henry Cavill or Cavill. I thought he was a good Superman. It's just the scripts weren't very good. I did not enjoy the scripts or anything else about those movies other than Amy Adams. Amy Adams is just fun. I just like her anyway. In fact, I did watch the Muppets movie with her and is it Jason something? Jason Segel. And she is just adorable in that movie. Her character is fun. And of course, she's adorable anyway. But, you know, she's really good in that. And so it just reminded me, it's like, yeah, I did appreciate her as Lois Lane, at least, just because I like Amy Adams. She's cool. So but I'm looking forward to checking out this movie coming July 11th. It's just got me more excited after getting a look at this trailer. Okay, so let me go and get a little bit of some promotion stuff going on in here. Of course, Dubby, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find a big white logo that says Dubby. Click on there or go to Dubby.gg and use the discount code of Neverland. Get yourself a discount on some energy drink. Well, basically, it's a powder that you mix into water, but this is not going to give you the jitters, but it's meant for us gamers, is what they say. Perfect for gamers without giving you the jitters. So that is Dubby. Once again, find that on the website, NeverlandPodcast.com. And by the way, I am in the midst of trying to build a website that's going to be WatchingMovies.NeverlandPodcast.com, where you can find out more about watching movies with my pastor. I figured it was about time I built a website for that. I'm trying to fix up some keywords and some SEO and stuff between the podcast and the YouTube version of the podcast, trying to get more people attracted in here. And so you can help me out with that by, of course, sharing the show if you enjoy it. Make sure you're subscribed by, you know, we should be available on Spotify. You'll probably have to make sure you look for The Fandom Nexus if you want to find me on Spotify. We're up about everywhere with Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, Apple Music. I believe I've got everything fixed on Amazon now. You should be able to find us. Make sure, though, you do a full search for The Fandom Nexus, because sometimes just searching Fandom Nexus, you're not going to find everything. And I don't think you're going to find us under Neverland Podcast anymore, or The Neverland Podcast, because we lost that name quite a while ago now. So make sure, though, you share this with others, because we are regrowing. And feel free to leave me that feedback, those reviews, and send us emails, because I do enjoy hearing from you. And I would like to hear from you, because I probably haven't heard from you before. So, and we will share it on the show. Okay, but that's enough jibber jabber from me. Let's go and listen to Daniel Ross.
Alrighty, we are here with the great Daniel Ross. Now, maybe some people are not familiar with you. You're almost kind of new to the game here.
A little bit.
You've really kind of been making a mark for yourself, though. Daniel Ross here is currently the voice of Donald Duck. And you got an award for that.
I sure did. I won an Emmy a couple of years ago at the Children's and Family Emmys. That was pretty epic.
Yeah, and that's your first ever. I remember you were like so grateful. I had a lot of great photos.
That was life changing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely life changing to go through that journey with Donald. And many people know the story of my mom, Mama Duck. So that was dedicated to her memory. She taught me how to do the voice when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
And so that was really special. That moment is something I will never forget.
Now, I have heard, I think Tony Anselmo has talked about, he has to be like certain times of the day because his sinuses, everything has to be just right to get just the right tone of Donald. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know Tony's process. He and I have never met, actually. I hope to someday. But for me, I've been doing it my whole life. And so I can do it just about any time of day. Now, I will always want to warm up,
yeah,
of course, because like anything, it's like working a muscle. So, you know, I'll do some scales.
Those interesting sounds going on.
We're at a very large convention center, yeah, as this interview is going, and there's, oh yeah, stuff going on. So I can break into it just about any time, but I will wear out after a certain amount of pushing it.
Yeah, I've noticed it takes a lot of air pressure. I had a guy back that I went to school with who could do a great Donald Duck.
Yeah.
And he tried to teach some of his classmates, like me, but I can't get anything distinct where I can make the sound. I've never gotten it to go any further, but at least the tone, but I cannot control it at all. So it's a gift.
I agree. And I'm very grateful to have that gift. I never thought that this is what I'd be doing with that gift. I honestly thought when I moved to Los Angeles, I would be able to bark like a pug. That's what I thought I'd use it for.
Yeah.
And so here we are all these years later.
And you're almost like the new Frank Welker, because you got to do Stripe.
Oh, my goodness.
Replacing Howie Mandel as Gizmo. That's huge.
Yeah. And you know what? Frank Welker voiced Stripe originally, mm-hmm, in Gremlins. And he's also been the voice of Grimace, who I now voice, yeah, as well. So, yeah, Frank, I love him to pieces. I knew him growing up as Megatron in Transformers, because, yes, I was a huge Transformers fan. And so, yeah, I seem to have stepped into legacy characters, which is such a niche place to be. And I'm just grateful to be here to be able to bring these characters to life for a new generation. You know, I'm just, again, grateful that it happens to be me, because it could have been anybody. And I just want to imbue these characters with love and keep that place in everybody's heart safe where their inner child lies. Yeah. And so this means a lot to me, outside of just being my job, which is fun.
Yeah, it's like the coolest job ever.
And of course, it's my
yes.
And Strout.
Which, yum, yum. It shows my age. The multiverses, I am not good at.
I forced myself to be good at it. And actually, just I think this past week, they released my final character in the game. I also voice Uncle Shagworthy, like Uncle Shagworthy, at your service. I also voice the Brain Gremlin from Gremlins 2, you see.
Oh, great.
Previously voiced by Tony Randall.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what we want, what you have, civilization.
And of course, everybody's got to stock up on handguns. That's probably one of the best bits in that movie.
That's a choice. That's a choice.
Oh, it just kind of cracked me up. That movie doesn't get enough credit. It's basically making fun of the first movie.
Yes, indeed, and all movies.
Yeah.
It is a giant parody, and it's wonderful chaos.
Mm-hmm. And if you're bringing Hulk Hogan in when I was a kid, that's it. I was in. Hulk Hogan!
That's right.
I've also seen that you're the voice of Starscream.
Yes, I voiced Starscream in the 2007 Transformers movie video games.
Nice.
Have you brought me the AllSpark human? That was a lot of fun. I'm a huge Transformers fan. As you can see, I've got Cybertronian on me.
Oh, nice.
Language of the Transformers, and I grew up with that. So to voice Starscream and to change the voice a little bit, because it was originally Chris Latta.
Oh, yeah.
And he was up here, Decepticons! So we did something very different for the movies, and that was super exciting. Yeah. I happen to be able to do those kinds of, you know, throaty kind of characters. But it was just that blew my mind. That was like the tip of the pyramid for me. My Mount Everest at the time to be in Transformers, let alone to be the lead villain for the video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had wondered. I think Tony is still doing the stuff for the parks. Mm-hmm. Have they talked to you about starting to do Donald in the parks?
No. I was brought on for Mickey and the Roadster Racers, Mickey Mouse Mixed Up Adventures. So my journey with Donald came to an end with Mickey and Minnie Wish Upon a Christmas, which was the TV movie. Will there be more Donald in the future? That's, you know, up to the powers that be.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, Tony Anselmo's been a wonderful steward of the character for, I think, almost 30 plus years, and hopefully many more. And if Disney ever needs me, they know where to find me.
Yeah. As we have to keep Donald going.
Exactly.
He was always my favorite when I was a kid. I can kind of relate to him because everything always happens to him. He gets stuck with all of that luck. Mm-hmm. And I had a bad temper when I was a kid, so I totally related to him.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to grow into Mickey because nothing ever happened to Mickey.
That's right. Well, that's why Donald was brought on.
Mm-hmm.
Walt created Donald to do the things that Mickey could not.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
That's why the best Mickey is those early Mickeys when he was a little ornery and get into trouble. He got so sanitized. I'm like, I still love Mickey, but he's so sanitized. So you need Donald to mix it up.
You know, over a journey of, let's be honest, almost 100 years, characters will go on. They will evolve over time.
Yeah.
And Donald is just the same, you know, from when he started in 1934. He just celebrated his 90th birthday last year.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, to be, again, a part of this legacy and this adventure has just been the joy of a lifetime for me. And to see the fans who are happy with the character and just hearing the voice. I hear from everybody, like, my uncle could do that voice, my brother, my aunt, you know, my cousin. And so it's just, it's something that is in the social fabric.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows Donald Duck. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents knew Donald. So I love that I've been a small cog in a very big machine.
Yeah.
And just, again, to bring some joy, that makes me happy.
He's still, they say Mickey's an every man, but Donald's the most relatable because we've all done something. This is supposed to have been easy, and it just goes completely off the rails.
That's right. That's right. So, and he ends up going.
Yeah. See, and that's, I think, the ability that you have to do that compared to, like, because everybody can, they try to do an impression of Donald.
Yeah.
But being able to have Donald have emotions and do the different sounds, that takes a lot of skill.
I have always considered myself to be a master of buckle speech. That's the technical term for Donald Duck talk. And so I can do lots of things with that. I can sing. I can speak in lots of different languages. I have very few limitations in that regard. And when it was my turn to bring Donald to life for the Disney Junior shows, the producer specifically asked me if I could pitch him up slightly and enunciate so that he would be clearer and more easy to understand, which, as we know, is kind of a contradiction to the character. The whole shtick is, what'd he say? What'd he say? And so if you hearken back to Clarence Ducky Nash, you know, it's a little different than mine. But I can go back between the different ones. So I prided myself on being able to do that and give the producers what they wanted for the shows. And I always hear from people, I can understand him now. I can understand what he says.
Yeah, so, there used to be stories when I was a kid that everybody thought Donald Duck was finding ways to curse when he was throwing his tantrums.
No.
But nobody could understand. I'm like, no, I never.
No, and I can say, I can speak with some authority on this.
Yeah.
Donald has never cussed. He has never said a bad word. He has said things that sound like bad words,
right.
You know, but he has never actually said anything untoward. So.
Now, I have heard Jim Cummings talk about stuff he tries to slip in an ad-lib to where it's like, I didn't really say that, but I said something that everybody's going to get the joke that I almost said it.
As long as he finishes with, oh, bother. That's all that matters.
Yeah, on his podcast, he's like, dang it. He's told the story multiple times, and I completely forgot of, like, his favorite line that he ad-libbed is something into, I think it was a Darkwing Duck thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't Darkwing Duck. It was a tailspin.
Oh,
he snuck in a line with the accent of Don Carnage.
Yeah.
Don Carnage. It was to where it
I just did
like
his podcast, thing. Actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm really behind because I've been really re-listening to The Lord of the Rings here lately.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm like a couple
That's
months
good
on
stuff.
All my podcasts.
That's good stuff, too.
Yeah, because I'm preparing. We're going to watch Lord of the Rings on my other show.
But he's got a lot of guests planned out,
yes.
So I'm probably going to be next year, I would assume.
Oh, so it hasn't aired? I haven't missed
no,
it.
No, it hasn't aired. It hasn't aired. We just recorded it, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Which, all right, side story before I wrap this up. Actually, with Adrian Ralph, who's an artist, who's here today, I'm going to go talk to him. When we brought him in, I think I told you this actually before we started recording, though, that we had this Disney panel and Jim Cummings. I've never gotten to talk to Jim Cummings because he was doing his panel in the main area, and all the Disney fans were, of course, wanting to hear Winnie the Pooh,
yep.
And not us.
Yep.
So, yeah, I want to talk to him. It's like, I finally get a chance to actually meet you, and you don't get to steal my crowd.
That's wild. Yeah, so for his podcast, I was like, let's do some dueling Winnie the Poohs.
Yeah. Oh, because your Winnie the Pooh was pretty good there.
That's not too shabby. I've been working on it for some time, but he is the voice.
Yeah.
You know, that is his. I'm not trying to get it. But just to play in the sandbox, you know, I was like, Mr. Cummings, could I fling some poo at you? So, you know, that's just a, you know, childhood dream come true right there.
You got it pretty good. Now, if you can do Tigger as well, I'll tell you what.
Well, Tigger's love to bounce.
Well, if he ever decides to retire, you're the man.
Nah. That will be a long, long time from now.
I don't say, I don't see him quitting for anything. He's having too much fun.
No, and he's too good. He's too good.
So, any advice that you would give to anybody who is thinking of getting into voice acting?
Oh, absolutely. So, a couple things. First and foremost, you must study the art of acting.
Yeah.
It's not just about doing a silly voice or being able to do lots of silly voices. You have to fully embody those characters and bring them to life. And so there's a process to be able to do that of, you know, self-discipline and education. Learn the elements of acting, scene studies, learn how to do improv. Those are some things that I would suggest for anybody and everybody, just to try at least once in your life. There are so many skills that you can use in other things, in other avenues. But if you decide after that training that, hey, maybe voice acting is what you want to do, then, you know, the world is open to you.
Yeah.
And if you look at me as an example, I never intended to be a voice actor. It just kind of landed in my lap, and I went on this amazing tangent, and here we are.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for the journey. I'm grateful again for the characters that I've had the great fortune to portray and that I will eventually portray.
Yeah.
There's lots of good stuff coming too that I can't talk about yet. But this has been the joy of a lifetime and such an adventure.
Yeah.
So if you are out there and you want to go on that kind of an adventure, invest in yourself. Believe in yourself, know that I believe in you, and do great things out there.
And a little bit of luck of the Irish doesn't hurt.
And a little bit of luck of the Irish, that's right. They're magically delicious. Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much. That's
my pleasure, awesome. My pleasure.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All right, as I walked the floor of Planet Comic-Con, Kansas City, I saw this display, and this had a giant Falcor, you know, the Luck Dragon from the NeverEnding Story, and it could move, you could puppet it around, and it was a photo op. You could pay to get your photo with some of these. They had the Rockbiter and Artex, where you could move, so if you want to get some video or whatever, you could tug along. And I got some video of the guy who built this stuff. Apparently, he builds this kind of thing. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I remembered I stopped. I talked to him, recorded with him, and I wanted to talk about creating all of these things. It was amazing. And I will try to get some photos here into the show notes on the website, neverlandpodcast.com, so you can see photos, and I'll post a little bit of video so you can see this amazing work that this guy did. But I stopped and I talked to him for a few minutes, and I'm going to share that with you right here.
Well, hello. Now I'm here. You know, I didn't see what your name was.
My name is John Marks.
Hi. And I'm guessing, are you mainly just an artist?
I'm a special effects artist, prop builder, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you've got some history, I bet, here.
Oh, yeah, a few things. Yeah, I do things over the years, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, right now what we're looking at is you've recreated a lot of crucial characters from the NeverEnding Story.
Yep.
Falcor, and you were up there showing that you can move his head and his mouth, and you got a great photo op. The Rockbiter's here, Artex, so we can all cry.
I will say, if my space was a little bit bigger, I actually made Gamorth the werewolf as well, but we were limited to a size, so we had to keep him in the trailer for the show. But
you can give a few kids some nightmares, have it come out.
That's the goal.
No, oh my goodness.
People seem to find it very cathartic, actually. It's nice.
Yeah, just because the memories it has. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, my brain is playing music right now.
Oh, sure.
Sitting here.
That's the song, man. And of course, Stranger Things, so they gave it a nod again in the third season. So
So now it's like it's back in the whole zeitgeist of which is fantastic. Absolutely. I love the last stuff we grew up with. It's coming back.
I try to make characters that have an emotional impact. I've done Toothless and Lightfury from How to Train Your Dragon. I've done the Battle Cats from He-Man and the Master Universe.
Oh wow!
I did the Iron Giant full scale. I've done the Appa we toured with the last 2 years from Last Airbender, Avatar: Last Airbender. So people have an emotional connection to these characters, especially these guys.
Yeah.
As you notice. Yeah. So we've had some grown people weeping. So there's definitely a connection there with their childhood. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
I bet you have grown people weeping because once again, Artex over here, if it wasn't Bambi's mother, it was that traumatized us well when we were growing up.
Absolutely.
So how did you get started doing this kind of work?
I fell into it backwards, as things do. I have an FX background a little bit. I have an art degree, but I was sitting on it, and all I did was go big during Halloween.
Oh, of
course. And I had been thinking about building a Hulk costume for years, and I finally shelled out a bunch of money to sculpt mold cast, and I tried to make it, and ended up making it so big, it wouldn't work. I couldn't get in it. It wasn't make it functional. So I decided to just fill it up and make it a freestanding statue. And somebody I was working with at the gym I was at, working there, and they said, you should take it to a Comic-Con and charge people to take pictures with it. And I said, what's a Comic-Con? And so that was 10 years ago, and I was smart enough about three shows in to ask people what they would like to see next. And I had four different ideas. I had a voting ballot, and the last idea I had on the plate was a little black dragon named Toothless.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, you got to make that. You got to make that. So I spent 4.5 months building him. Got him on the road the next year, and after that, sort of, as they say, is history. So,
yeah, you can bring Toothless back here in another year.
I actually will bring it. He is making a new appearance. I actually mentioned that in about 6 weeks up in Motor City Comic Con. That's in Novi, Michigan. I'll be bringing Toothless and Light Fury for that show.
Ooh.
So they made a request, obviously, because the new live action just came out
right.
This, or will be coming out this month. But yeah, so there is a demand there, and I try to keep all my big builds if I can.
Yeah.
So, yep.
So how long does something like this Falcor, because he's got all this fur and everything.
Yep.
I mean,
I had to work very fast. I did everything in 4 months. So all these characters, the racing snail you see in front of you here, that was a little bit of an addition. And Morla up on the wall, I painted her. That came in a little bit afterwards. So we can say fudge and say 4.5 months. So, yeah.
Wow. That's actually a lot faster than I would have thought.
I had to work very quickly. I had a 3-month lease on a warehouse, so I had to work every day all day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
And all by yourself?
All by myself.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You have the patience of a saint.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I work better by myself because I don't have patience, so I know how I can work, and then I yell at myself a lot. So, yeah. But, yeah, that works. It works.
You used the wrong color there.
That's
how dare
right.
you?
Way to go, genius. You know, these sort of things. Talk nice to yourself, folks. That's my one advice.
Yeah, there you go. Especially when you're doing like a project this.
Yeah, yeah. I try to be nicer. I applaud when I do things well or something goes well. It's always like, there it is. Yes, yes. Okay. Good. And then we move on.
Because I got to wonder with like the hair on on Falcor back here.
Yeah.
I don't know where you find like enough like a pre-made fur to do that.
Lucky me, Joanne's fabric is still alive and well, at least for a few more months. But I was able to buy the same fur I actually used for APA. It's called Crinkle Cream. It's a light, nice long 4-inch curly hair. I had to buy different kinds of hair to do other parts of him, but And then with the horse, I bought a different kind of synthetic hair, and he actually used a heat gun to shorten the hair so it looks more like horse's hair.
Yeah.
And then the longer hair on the mane is actually synthetic hair you buy from a wig shop or like online or what, a King's Beauty store or something like that.
Feel my phone vibrating,
so sorry. A little bit.
Yeah.
So some sculpt mold cast. So I had to sculpt the horse's head, Falcor's head, mold cast that into a stuff called Flexamine 3, which is a 2-to-1 liquid that expands, becomes kind of like your foam rubber.
How long did it take you to learn all this?
most of it was self-taught. I practiced with some of the products at a smaller scale and realized they could function as certain things, and then sort of applied knowledge as you were. You kind of guess and figure that should work. Let's try this. And I made many mistakes during this build and had to backtrack or scrap stuff that didn't work. And, you know, you learn from that. That's your failures are successes as much as your successes are. More so because you learn something from it. So,
yeah.
And then sometimes something goes bad, but it actually works in a different kind of favor, or you remember for something else because the effect came out of it. You're like, oh, I got to remember that for something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I try to, it's
you Bob can do Ross it style.
Yeah, kind of happy little accidents.
Happy
and
little
trust
accident.
Me, there were plenty that lent itself to this build. So I was very lucky. I was very lucky in a lot of builds, a lot of parts of it.
Well, if people want to follow up and see where you're going to appear and what you're working on, how do people find you?
Well, they can find me on any of the social medias. As of right now, it's John_Marks, J-O-H-N _M-E-R-K-S, and then F-X, so just letters F and X at the end of it. That's on Instagram, Facebook. If they can't somehow find me that way, look for my company. It's called Brazen Monkey, B-R-A-Z-E-N Monkey. And that it should, you could probably find me pretty quickly. There's not that many Brazen Monkeys out there, but... Yes, that's where I am. Please follow me.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to us.
Of course. You all set?
Yep.
All right, and now I want to take a moment to remind you about Podgagement. You'll also find a link for that on NeverlandPodcast.com. Podgagement is the company from award-winning podcaster Daniel J. Lewis. If you happen to have a podcast, you want to be able to get some of your stats, make sure you get your reviews from around the world. Go over to Podgagement and look at all the different various plans he has, and it's a lot of very good and useful stuff. I've been a customer of his for a very long time, and of course you click on that affiliate link, it helps out the show. We do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show, because you know what they did, they helped me out to make that introduction in front of this here show. So You know, that does remind me of something I wanted to mention at the beginning of the show, because I just saw my GameStop PowerUp Rewards card in front of me, because that's where I'm going to pick this up. But, oh, hey, Magic the Gathering is going to have a Final Fantasy set of cards, and they've been sharing some of the artwork over the past week, and it looks amazing. And, of course, I'm excited for Final Fantasy VII characters, but also, since I've been playing through some of the early games now, all those, I'm recognizing some of the other characters that are popping up. I'm getting pretty excited to go, and I haven't played Magic in, like, years, decade, probably. I still have all my cards, except for the ones that were stolen from me back in high school. But I'm looking forward to at least getting these cards. I don't know if I will be playing, but I definitely want to take a look at these things and collect them and maybe put them in a nice sleeve and keep them safe and protected, because I'm pretty excited about these. So that'll be coming up actually in June as well. As well as my birthday coming up pretty soon. If somebody wants to buy me something nice, feel free. My birthday and my anniversary is coming up in just like another week and a half here. Wow, goodness. Wow. Oh, but anyways, okay, so you can email us podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, which is, by the way, where you can wish me a happy birthday. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, NeverlandPCast, and on Facebook, you can search for the Phantom Nexus, and that'll find the like page, but I recommend the group, and that's still under Neverland Podcast. And I can have a lot more fun in the group. I can interact a lot more. There's also is a group for the watching movies with my pastor. We're slowly growing that up, too. Join the Neverlanders at NeverlandPodcast.com. Become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why Pixies? Because girls are too clever, they don't get lost. You'll also find links there for our Patreon at patreon.com Neverland Podcast. And of course, right there in the show notes, you'll find a red circle. You can become an exclusive member, and you don't have to hear the ads at the beginning, middle, or end of this program. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by the respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. And now, get lost in an adventure. We'll see you next time.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.